Not ready? Too bad. Head back, face forward, and hold on like you mean it.
Welcome to Review Time's Theme Park Cast. This is a weekly show where we explore the ins and outs of attractions and parks from around the world. My name is Dom, and this week we'll be continuing our Walt Disney World vacation. Now head into Frontierland and hopefully Liberty Square. We're going to try and cover two lands this time. But before we get into it, I need to introduce my co-host, the man who was kicked out of Disney for sleeping on the toilet. Other guests were baffled when he was thrown out of the park with a sleeping bag, pillow, and a sleep mask, screaming, "But why do you call them restrooms? In my country, we call them bathrooms." It's Review Time co-host, Mr. Luke Carroll.
I mean, I was also kicked out of Australian theme parks for trying to have a bath in the sink, you know? So it's just, you know, I'm used to it by now. I do.
You're like,
isn't
it a polite
thing? Because, yeah, in Australia, it's you just say toilet, you know? But I wonder, in America, is it a, ooh, toilet? That's a naughty word. We say that's a restroom.
Ooh. Well, I do know that for the longest time, like, you couldn't say toilet on TV. But, like, we always just say...
No toilet humor, literally.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It was like, you couldn't talk about bums. You couldn't talk about, like, flatulence or anything like that.
We're breaking all the rules on Review Time's theme park cast this week.
Could you imagine
for some reason it came out in 1932.
Could you imagine if podcasts were like sent back in time, like back to the 1930s, the 1920s? There's like a gramophone in the middle of New York in
they
the 1920s.
They understand us though, because we don't speak like this. That 1930s voice. There is like a historical
radio
reason behind that voice, but I can't remember what it is. So that was a good sentence, Luke. It started strong. There is like a reason that voice essentially, and it is, it's a made up accent. It was essentially made up specifically for radio. Can't remember what the reason is, but there's some homework for you. We don't set a lot of homework on this show.
I believe that there were two reasons. There was something to do with frequencies, and I could be completely wrong here, but I have heard the fact before. It's sort of like the higher pitch voice microphones at the time weren't good with the lower ends of the voice. So if you were talking like in a normal baritone voice for a male, then it would come across sort of really odd. But if they put it up here, then it was nice and it was really accented to the microphones at the time. But the other thing I heard is that it was just like that was the industry accent, like everyone just did it and it wasn't really questioned. Like it's sort of
that, you know, how that you know, like one person does something and then it just becomes that's what you do in the industry. Like when all trailers would have that in a world before time, and then every trailer for a while had to have that exact voice. I wonder if it was essentially part of it was that same thing. I think it's called like the Atlantic accent. And it doesn't exist anymore, and it didn't exist before radio or something like that. It's like a weird pocket of its time.
Maybe what we can do is we can like bridge episodes of Review Time's theme park cast together, and maybe next week we can give ourselves a little bit of homework to find out that completely useless fact.
And we'll have to remember it before we come back together next week. So that's the real homework. Do either of us remember something that happened in the first few minutes of the podcast?
That People listening to the podcast in succession must be so frustrated. Imagine listening
stuff
to like
we never come back to. I'm sure there has. If you can remember anything we never came back to or a story we said we'd tell at a different point. Apparently last week when I talked about the Cinderella Castle Suite and I didn't say the name of the celebrity who essentially got all other celebrities banned. Apparently I'd already said it in an earlier episode. So there's a little Easter egg hunt if you're listening.
Go back through all of them and you can finally piece together the intricate backstory of Review Time's theme park cast.
But and quickly touching on an old episode, last week's episode, I just want to quickly touch, the more I've thought about Enchantment, the more I don't like it. But anyway, so we kind of, what happened last time is we had just watched the live stream and we didn't really, I think we didn't have a lot of time to think about the show.
Yeah.
And then we sat down and we talked about it, and I feel we weren't a big fan of Harmonious, which kind of made us expect the worst. And then when Disney Enchantment was just okay in the grand scheme of things, it's not terrible. It's just okay. We probably thought it was better than it was. And for me, and for a lot of people out there, I agree with this. This feels like the show that should have came between Wishes and Happily Ever After, not the show that replaces Happily Ever After, because a lot of the effects are very similar. Same music, same scenes are used, but were achieved to a better usage in Happily Ever After. Like, the castle shape was used more effectively, not just, you know, as a projection surface, but actually implementing the parts of the castle into the projections sort of thing.
I feel one of the problems is that when it comes to a nighttime spectacular at Disney, this sort of forefront at a Magic Kingdom style park is the fireworks. Mm. A lot of people are always like, you don't hear people go, oh, you have to go and watch Happily Ever After because of the projections. Mm. So Imagineers can sort of get this lesser priority for the projections, I feel. And what happened was it legitimately looked like they took the back step, as you were saying. Like, this looked like the test footage for Happily Ever After, because I remember watching that show and just being absolutely blown away. Like, when they ramp up with the Pirates of the Caribbean section and then it destroys the castle. Like, they have the robot from Incredibles go through and it's like shooting lasers and everything. And there's fire. There's fireworks going off. And it was just this intricate mess of absolutely incredible effects that all came together to this nice sort of soft crescendo down into the really relaxed part of the show. And that just blew me away. Yeah. And exactly as you said, the more I reflect on Enchantment, the more I feel like it was sort of, it was one step forward, two steps back. Because sure, it's a decent show. It's a good show. I don't think it's bad per se. I just don't think it's
the
right step forward.
I think is the issue. And we've always talked about it. It's not just the Disney thing. It's a theme park thing. Theme park fans, we're always happy to get new stuff if the new stuff replaces, you know, the new stuff that's replacing the old stuff is better than what came before it. There's arguments all the time when stuff gets replaced, whether the replacement is better than the old stuff. But I would genuinely be curious here to find someone who thinks the new show is better than Happily Ever After. In a complete vacuum, in a complete bubble, not just because it's something new, not just, you know, we're not talking about Tokyo Disneyland where they do have new fireworks shows every 5 years sort of thing. These Magic Kingdom ran Wishes for, what, 12, 15-ish years or something like that, and then ran Happily Ever After for only four. So it is weird to see from it, and is it better? I don't know. I wouldn't need to see it in person. I never saw Happily Ever After in person because I was a Wishes. I've seen Wishes probably about 200 times. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Just like Harmony, these are just our first opinions. Well, these are our second opinions about Disney Enchantment. Yeah. We will eventually, I'm sure, see the show because they'll probably run for 37 years unless Enchantment does review so bad that they bring back a limited time magic return of Happily Ever After.
For 5 years.
Who knows?
One of those things I feel that if you really want to play it safe, and I'm surprised that for some reason Disney didn't figure this out. Like, Disney, you got a lot of data. You got a lot of money. You got a lot more than me. So I don't know how you didn't figure this out. Like, one of the problems that they did is the shows are too similar.
Yeah.
Harmonious is too similar to that other one that came before it that's on the tip of my tongue.
Rivers of Light.
Illuminations.
No, it's Harmonious not really. I find Harmonious is too similar to Happily Ever After.
Wait, are you talking about
It's like Disney Epcot only has it's like Disney only has seven songs they can use. Because five or six of them that are the exact same in Happily Ever After, Disney Enchantment, and Harmonious. Disney has almost 100 years of musical history to go off, and we seem to just get the same six songs from the same five movies.
Isn't Spooky Scary Skeletons a Disney song? if I remember correctly.
No, you're thinking of Skeleton Dance, which is the like, dun, 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 like that type of, but a lot of the time you'll see the spooky, scary skeleton song over the top of the classic Silly Symphony Skeleton Dance, which at the time was like deemed as very scary. And it's just these kind of goofy skeletons doing a little dance. Like,
this is off topic. I'll come back to what I'm about to say, and then I'll just quickly go on to what I was going to say before.
Yeah.
Because I want to finish off. I feel like the thing that Disney hasn't figured out, if you don't want people to compare shows, just make them wildly different.
Yeah.
Like if you just went, okay, we're getting rid of Illuminations, because like if you think about technology wise, the barges of Illumination became Harmonious. It's sort of a progression in technology.
Yeah.
If you want people, well, that's going to naturally create a comparison. If you want people to then not compare it, go completely left of field.
Do World of Color
do
or something.
Yeah, do World of Color. Yeah. Chuck that in there. And then people are like, oh, well, it's not Illuminations, but it's different. And that's the problem I feel is that they've,
it's based
they've
on,
replaced
you know, five
something.
Barges where I think, yeah, Illuminations was maybe six barges or something, but it's the same, like, you've got, instead of the globe barge, you've got the Stargate barge. It's in the same position. Instead of, you know, the fireworks barges, you've got the tacos sort of thing. It's easy to draw those conclusions, at least between the technology, not necessarily the content, and then say, well, yeah, I guess the Stargate's kind of okay, but the globe was kind of cooler. And that pyro barge, remember in the fire section?
Yes.
Like that part in Harmonious was sick. And I don't know. To me, it seems like they designed the technology and then for Harmonious and then went, whoops, now we got to design a show that actually uses it. Like the kind of octopus arms that come off the barges. What's the point of those?
They do nothing.
Exactly. Like it feels like they designed this tech and then went to another team. Good luck. Figure out how to use it.
It was like they had the, you know, Walt Disney Animation Studio design the technology, and then they gave it to their direct-to-DVD specials like team. But I would say in a similar sense, I feel that technology-wise, Enchantment and Happily Ever After are very similar.
Yeah.
And as well, content-wise, they are extremely similar. If you didn't want people to compare them, don't try and hit the same mark.
About the attractions, yeah.
What you said,
even
like,
if it was arguably
left of field.
Yeah, exactly. Even if just comparing them side by side, even if the 50th special show that was all about traveling the parks and stuff like that was a worse show than Happily Ever After, it still would have been received better than Enchantment because it's different. And I hear a lot of people say, oh, but that show makes sense for Disneyland because they're mostly APs. And these shows are, you know, the special show where it's celebrating the park itself doesn't make sense here because they're mostly day guests. It's like, but it's the perfect way to wrap up your day because you've experienced all these attractions in a day. I'm sure you're not going to forget what Pirates of the Caribbean is when you rode it at 3 p.m. and the fireworks are on at 9 p.m. You're not going to be like, a pirate ride? Never heard of it before.
Just what the hell is a Space Mountain?
Yeah, I think the Tokyo Disneyland's 35th anniversary projection show is probably the best example of this. We've talked about it before. You've experienced your day riding all these rides, come back together. You're nostalgic for something you rode an hour ago because of the way it's presented. That's the sort of show we should have had for the 50th. But we probably won't talk about Enchantment until we've actually seen it in person again.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll rag and riff on it, but that's the last in-depth discussion we'll have about it until we see it in who knows when. Australian borders are meant to reopen soon. We will go before the end of the 50th, I'm sure, unless COVID-20 comes and knocking on the world's door, which please, I hope it doesn't. We will probably go before the 50th. But at this stage, it's like, we may as well wait for Tron. We may as well wait for Guardians, which are all meant to debut before the 50th.
Yeah.
It's hard to get there. We're going to go once during this celebration. We may as well wait till it's all there.
My closing remark is, I really think that Disney's marketing team and Disney's entertainment teams need to have a chat in these sort of situations, because the thing that I've noticed through all of this is the whole marketing for the 50th is it's like, oh, have you been to Walt Disney World before? Well, you have to come back for the ultimate Walt Disney World trip. So it's kind of like, bring your family, have a reunion and all of that. Imagine if, like, you can use the same IPs, have a bit where it's like the people in Coco, where they reunite on the bridge and that. Yeah. Like, that's about coming together.
Oh, bring back the magic, the memories in you. We got it. Yeah. Where you used to have to text in your photos and they'd show them on the castle.
Oh, text in. There was that wall in Melbourne in Federation Square
you
where
could
you
text your message.
Anyway, complete divergent. Now, the thing that I left on the side earlier when we're talking about skeletons, I'm going to bring that back. I don't think skeletons are really considered scary anymore. I feel like they're more goofy. Do you feel that?
Yeah, it's hard to create. Like, you can kind of create a scary skeleton, but yeah, they're a bit silly. They've been kind of sillified so much through cartoons and stuff like that. Just a skeleton itself isn't really scary. Like, if you had like a giant skeletal creature, maybe. But just a skeleton, I didn't think I've ever really been scared of a skeleton. And the idea of a skeleton inside you might be scarier.
Look behind you. There's a skeleton.
Spook.
Oh, happy Halloween, everyone. It's 3 weeks early. So bringing it all back, you know what has skeletons in it? Frontierland, because it's at the very end of the park. But it does have two good rides. Hmm. Oh, it's got 3 good rides, actually, I think. No, it's got 2 good rides.
I was going to say, what's the third? Is it the raft or Country Bear Jamboree?
Sorry, it has 2 good rides and 1 absolute banger of an attraction, which is Country Bear's Jamboree,
which has
our boys, Kissy Lips McGee, or whatever his name is.
Liver Lips McGraw, I think. Kissy Lips McGee might be a better name. Disney, if you want to take it, we'll let you.
We had an encounter with that character, the guy who's got like the massive lips.
Kissy Lips McGee.
Literally, every time he would just like go up to things and just like a. And you just see
the noises character makes when they give you a hug is still weird to me. Like, Minnie will do this, like. In your ear when she'll give you a hug sometimes. I've had like Goofy make a kissing noise when he gave me a hug. I've had Tigger purr in my ear when he was like pretending to lick me for some reason. Like, some characters do some stuff. Let's just like. Yep.
Have you ever told the story? And it was probably a good opportunity when we're talking about Main Street. About the time that the snail yelled at you?
No,
in the Main Street Electrical
Parade. That wasn't
on
Main Street. That was in Frontierland.
Whoa, what a segue.
As you know, I used to work at Magic Kingdom. I used to work mostly on Main Street, but when I first got there for the first few months, the entire parade route was covered by my area. So we essentially had a non-land specific costume, meaning we could go anywhere in the park. Day parade would start on the west side, we used to call it. It would then go through Frontierland, through Liberty Square to the hub, and then down Main Street. Night parade would do the opposite. It would start on Main Street and then end up next to Splash Mountain.
Yeah.
At nighttime, that part of the park, because the Main Street Electrical Parade is a long parade. And when I was there was when, you know, the park would run parades at 9 p.m., and 11 p.m. with fireworks at 10. And if you've ever been to Disney Park, you know once the fireworks are done, that's pretty much it. Everyone leaves. So
a mass exodus of people.
It would take from where I would usually be stationed, you know, in Frontierland, kind of across from Country Bear Jamboree there. It would take the parade about 20, 25 minutes just to get there. Mm. So if you're watching the parade, why would you watch it over there? You can go watch it on Main Street, and before it even gets to where I am in the park, it's already finished on Main Street. You can go home. The crowds have died out, sort of thing. Park closes at 11, so no attractions are open or anything. It essentially meant
can you still get a taco?
No. Where can you get a taco? Okay. Pecos?
Pecos, Bill.
No, because the park's closed. So well, the parade started when the park closed, as you do, because it's a 45-minute parade to finish. So
okay.
The parade's going. If you're over on West Side on what was even a moderately attended day, it would be dead. There would be days standing outside Country Bear Jamboree. I could look to the left, see all the way towards, you know, Hall of Presidents where it turns. Not a single guest viewing the parade. I could turn all the way to Splash Mountain and there might be two guests who are viewing the parade, but it's only because they can't get across the parade route to exit the park at this stage. And it's quicker to just wait and watch the parade than literally have to walk all the way across the boardwalk, all the way out through Liberty Square, around towards the castle, and then back down Main Street. Just watch the parade at that stage. So there was one day, a fateful evening, where if you've seen the Main Street Electrical Parade, they've got the big floats, and then they've got these little weird kind of in-between, the tweeners, we call them. One of them is a snail, and the snail kind of makes this like wah, 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 sound. He'll do like spinning tricks and stuff like that. Over on West Side, I'm outside Country Bear Jamboree, literally watching the parade, being paid to watch the parade, because there is no guess in my vision. And here comes the Alice in Wonderland segment, and here comes the snail. The snail had either just gone completely insane or was just looking to make sure I was awake and paying attention. The snail came right up to me. No joke. Probably an inch away from my toe was the big multi-ton snail. And the driver inside, just at the top of his lungs, just straight up yells at me. Just not words, just as loud as he could, and then just zoops away as fast as he can in the opposite direction.
Was it like a curdling, like a blood curdling scream?
Like a
scream.
Yeah. I can't even do it. My microphone would peak and everyone's ears would be blown out. And I was just left standing there like, what just happened? No one was around. There was no one else who could ever verify this story. There was no guess. Just me hanging out by myself pretty much, watching the parade, getting paid to be yelled at by a snail. That was my job.
Those stories with Bill Murray where it'll be like, no one will ever believe you.
Steal your chip and then say, no one will believe that I stole your chip.
Me, Bill Murray, chip stealer. He was arrested for that, though. Very sad.
Yeah,
very
sad. But yeah, so, West Side, I have connections with West Side because I used to, it was half of, for the first, you know, half of my Disney program, I was over on West Side almost more than I was on Main Street. For some reason, like the Main Street cast for Day Parade, they were all the older people who would, you know, part of our job was also the Main Street vehicles. Those sort of things. So all those cast who would work in the mornings would do Main Street for Day Parade, and all the young'uns who would stay for the night stuff would be over on West Side. So I've spent a ton of time over in Frontierland. And I would say for a part of the park that only has two attractions, they're two of the strongest attractions in the park.
Well, you know, when you're comparing them to Country Bear Jamboree, they're okay. But I'd say
it has
like
the best entertainment offering and two of the best rides. You can't beat it.
If Country Bear Jamboree didn't exist, these would be definitely
I wouldn't go.
The two.
Is
best.
That what that's what I'm saying here? I wouldn't.
Walt Disney World would be a failure. No one would go.
My favorite part is that like Country Bear Jamboree and the Tiki Room are like right next to each other in this park.
Yeah.
It's like two classic old school animatronic events, and the fact that it still has Carousel of Progress too. It just has a lot of,
Country Bear Jamboree and the Tiki Room are like sort of touching bums.
It's literally
They're
just
like
the Dole Whip shop that separates them. Like that's it between the two. But we'll start up the very back of Frontierland with Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. If you've ridden a Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, you've pretty much ridden this one. I know they're slightly different to each other, but I don't really notice when I'm actually riding it.
Yeah, they're all sort of just a roller coaster in Frontier.
A really well-themed mine train roller coaster.
Yeah. I, like, That's I like Big Thunder Mountain. Yeah, it's sort of on my to-do list of things that I'll do every time I go to a Disney park.
Yeah, don't miss stuff.
Yeah, it's not something like I won't go on Big Thunder Mountain and be like, oh my gosh, this is the most thrilling ride ever. Like, we've got some comparably insane coasters in Australia, which, you know, DC Rivals and stuff like that. When you compare that to something like Big Thunder Mountain, it's kind of not even a comparison.
It's just a family ride.
It's just a really well-themed
family ride. This one does have that interactive queue. Have you ever played with that?
When I went in 2019, they sort of had like the, you could lower the TNT and that would make sort of certain things explode. Yeah. And you could sort of interact with the trains a little bit as well. So that you could like
this wet
people.
This was one
people.
Of the first kind of, Disney was going through this stage and they kind of stopped it where they were making queues interactive. And this was one of the first. So we also saw it on Space Mountain. They added the games. We saw it on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. They had those games as well. A lot of that has been removed and just since placed on the Play Disney Parks app instead.
Yeah.
Not sure if the Frontierland one still exists for this attraction. Probably not at the moment, but they might be brought back.
I saw a video where like the plungers for the TNT barrels were just missing.
Huh. That's so one I way think to stop people doing it.
Exactly. Be
interesting, yeah, to see if that comes back. Because, yeah, you could essentially explode it. This doesn't have the kind of outro, finale, projection map scene that the Disneyland version has. Rumor was that that was meant to come to the 50th, but was one of the more than 50 cuts, I'm sure, that happened for the 50th. But, yeah, it's still a strong version of this attraction, but I am not going to say it's the best version of this attraction in the world because I genuinely couldn't tell you which version of Big Thunder Mountain is my favorite. They're all pretty much on par.
I think it's also hard because Disney themselves at Walt Disney World has sort of plussed the Big Thunder Mountain experience with Expedition Everest. And then when you marry those two ideas, you get the attraction at Hong Kong, the big grizzly mountain
Gulch?
Runaway mine train. It's got like four words in it. It's a long name. But that's sort of, in my opinion, the perfect sort of modern day Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah.
I don't think you could go through and change any of these. They're classic
attractions. I don't think you need to, but I like that Hong Kong's is unique. Because as I was saying before, you know, this one blends in with Disneyland, which blends in with Tokyo Disneyland, which I guess Disneyland Paris is maybe one of the more unique just because it is on the island.
Yeah. But, and it's also integrated in with the story of the land a lot more as well. We should talk about Disneyland Paris one day.
If I ever go there, we're meant to be there pretty much now before the world had other plans.
Like one of the only things that we could talk about where I know more than you.
Big Thunder.
It's Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, if you like Big Thunder, you'll like Big Thunder. There you go. Like, if you like a Big Thunder, you'll like every Big Thunder. A version as well that if you like one version, you'll probably like the rest is Splash Mountain. Right next door here. Again, pretty similar to the one at Disneyland. I would say the Tokyo Disneyland one is the best just because all the effects work. Where a lot of them don't work in the US-based park. They also have like an extra layer of theming on the roofs in the Tokyo one. But that's not to say this is a bad version of the attraction. All three versions of Splash Mountain are still that, you know, 15-minute long log flume adventure with the catchy music, ending with that, you know, that ginormous drop. This one is the 2x2 rather than the 1x1 seating configuration that the Disneyland one has. So you can ride next with your friend. Yeah, the Disneyland one, you kind of sit just by yourself in a row, like a more traditional style log flume.
Oh, is that where you sort of like lean into the groin of the person behind you?
Yeah, you used to a lot
like
more.
Like the original Matterhorn?
Matterhorn, yeah. They've kind of added seats, more specific seats, but yeah, you still kind of have your legs next to random other people. Where this one is
give him a little tickle.
Oh, hello. Nice to meet you. But yeah.
How to make friends at Disney parks. Suck
cool
on
thing
toes.
About this one is the train goes through and you can see part of the ride from the train.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a unique addition there, Luke Carroll. What is it? For some reason, we've hit this point with like Big Thunder Mountain and Splash Mountain. Yeah. These are iconic.
I think everyone knows what they are. Yeah, that's
yeah,
the thing.
And it's sort of like, what do you do
what
when you talk about these?
Say?
It's like, yes, this is a log flume. We just got really like, welcome to our review of these
attractions. We're just going through the
facts
now. The drop is 37.8, I don't know, meters tall. The 2x2 boats give you a theoretical hourly ride capacity.
As a thrilling log room ride on a whimsical world of classic characters. But you must be 102 centimeters tall.
Which is actually quite short for a thrill ride.
Yeah. Well, it's the exact same for Big Thunder Mountain as well.
Have you ever seen the original like advertising for this attraction where it portrayed the drop as if it was some big death-defying 500-foot drop bigger than King Dakar? Like all the advertising at the start, they don't really do it anymore, but it was all essentially being like, this drop is insane. You're just gonna die. Wouldn't even go on this ride. But now it's just like, hey, it's fun.
I think I've seen that where it's like they've got the family and they're like, whoa, as it goes over the edge, but then behind them is like Brer Rabbit and Brer Bear and all of that, and they're like, oh no. And actually what we could talk about is that this ride doesn't technically exist anymore in the eyes of Disney.
They've done a Disney on it because Bob Chapek came out and was like, this movie is a disgrace, but we're going to keep the ride open. If that's not just, I don't know, if it was such a disgrace that Bob Chapek's come out and say it, which fair enough, I can see why that would be their opinion, close it. Why is it still open? If it's so disgraceful to Disney, why is it still open?
Well, do you know what is a bigger disgrace to Bob Chapek? Losing money. So he's going to keep it open. That is the thing that sort of, like, it's a very contentious and emotionally driven part of the Disney theme parks. But I'm just going to say it, that Disney sure do a lot of virtue signaling.
Yeah. Yeah. That good old fifth key. Inclusivity, but it also means we have to keep Splash Mountain open for 4 years after we announce its closure, because that's inclusive, Dom. That's that fifth key in action. What's the first key? Oh, profit at the moment. So key one trumps key five.
No, it's key zero now. So it goes money, then safety,
it
then everything.
It's the umbrella key. And the thing is as well, I don't think Disney was not ready to announce Princess and the Frog. From what we've heard, from everything that's coming out, this was that one piece of concept art they announced it with was kind of the, remember when Disneyland, they went to the banks and they drew up that map the night before? Yeah, that Princess and the Frog was kind of the same equivalent thing. And that's not to say Disney hadn't thought about the idea. Of course they had. But it wasn't really approved. It was kind of raced through approval. And then if you look at what everything they're releasing about the attraction is very much seeming to be like, it's still Splash Mountain. It's still called Splash Mountain. It still has all of the figures in it. It just seems to be like, I would love, you know, a really cool Tiana film. Princess and the Frog is one of my favorite Disney soundtracks of time.
Princess and the Frog dirty. Because that is
it deserves its own banger attraction.
Of a film. Yeah. It's got some of the best songs in Disney history. Mm. And I'm happy to say that that soundtrack, chef's kiss. Like that emoji where they're sort of like, oh, and then fingers in a circle. Yeah. Like, oh, that's what, chef.
And if like
it's
to
really
me,
hard to describe emojis.
I feel this fits. Like, I could see this New Orleans Square, Disneyland, give it a decent budget, I could see this being a spectacular overlay, which is what 100%. It is at the end of the day. My worry is they're not going to give it the money it deserves. It's literally going to feel like Splash Mountain with three figurines of Tiana and just the soundtrack copy-pasted onto the scenes with no real through line. Remember the first one that came out? They've kind of forgotten about that, where it was all about the alligator had lost his trumpet case and it was floating down the water.
Yeah. Well, isn't it now that Tiana is literally going to be in it for one scene? Like,
yeah,
the
that's
end?
The rumor that I've heard. I've heard like four versions of the storyline to this attraction, which to me seems like they announced it when it was still in Blue Sky phase.
Yeah. So my assumption is that every rumor I've heard has slowly toned back
what it's
gonna be. The overall concept.
Yeah.
And I think those aren't rumors. They're leaks.
That's
because
what's
usually
happening.
Rumors ramp up.
Yeah. Like very rarely do rumors kind of undersell something that's happening in Disney theme parks. They always come with these like grandiose rumors and you get something that kind of resembles it, but not really. This is like, if we, what their rumors are saying now, if it's worse than that somehow, it's literally, seems like it's going to be a plywood cutout of Tiana where the Brer Rabbit animatronic used to be. Like, that, if it's a downgrade
it's
from what
like
we're hearing.
It's got like a single hinge on its arm that it's like waving, like,
welcome to the bayou, welcome to the bayou. And then just
hello.
Rolling down the bayou on repeat through the entire
attraction. Tiana, welcome to my ride.
Do you reckon we'll get this right? 15th of October, 2021. Do you think this ride will come to the Magic Kingdom?
They will change Splash Mountain. Well, actually, I don't even know. When they released the information about the change for Splash Mountain, it was very, like, it was an emotionally charged time. And I feel that Disney sort of got caught with their pants down and then decided instead of pulling their pants up and making an announcement, they really quickly spun around on stage and everyone saw their willy. So it was just this situation where everyone's like, Disney,
what are you doing?
What? And that sort of seemed to settle people down. People were then like, okay, I'm not really concerned about Splash Mountain anymore. They're sort of now looking towards the future and a little bit distracted by Disney's willy. But now we have to process that.
Yeah.
And we're starting to realize that the whole thing is a little bit, and people aren't really impressed with a Dacta Disney on stage. So
from
did you like
I've
my analogy? I thought it was
well,
pretty good.
So what I'm hearing currently, it's the Disneyland one, most likely will go ahead. Disney World, though, is still trying to convince Tokyo to split development costs of the attraction with them because their versions are pretty much identical of the attraction. Tokyo doesn't want to play ball with Princess and the Frog because that film didn't do well in Japan.
Yeah.
So whether that, you know, that means that they change the theme to something else instead, I'm not sure. But the fact that for the 50th anniversary, they're making this big deal that Bob Chapek said that, you know, that he's essentially disowned this film. Look at the 50th anniversary merch. There's still Brer Rabbit stuff on there. If that doesn't tell you what they were saying without saying it, I think that's the comment that needs to be made. And this isn't us saying that things should or shouldn't be changed. We're not in the place to make that decision. If an attraction is offensive to somebody, then it shouldn't exist. Like,
as in the wise words of Jim Hill from the Disney Dish, we are two white dudes in Australia in our two-bedroom, three-bedroom homes talking about Disney theme parks for a living. Like, we are the definition of privilege.
Yeah.
These changes aren't for us.
Yep.
But I can see the circumstances in which, like, they're not going about this the right way.
Yeah.
And that makes me cranky.
Exactly. If they think it's offensive, if guests think it's offensive to them, why is it still open? You can't go out there and say that this ride is offensive, this film is offensive, your CEO literally saying all these things, and then just keep it open.
Money.
Yeah.
Money.
It's just the definition to me of virtue signaling. Like, I know that has negative connotations to it, and you might not agree here, but if it's as bad as they're saying, which we're not going to pass a judgment whether it is or isn't, it shouldn't be open as it currently stands. And that's coming from someone who thinks Splash Mountain is a great attraction. If it's offensive to people, it's so bad that it needs to be changed internally and externally, it shouldn't be open.
It's what it seems like to me is it seems like that situation of if you kids be good, I'll get you Macca's for dinner.
On the way home.
But then you hope that the kids just forget.
And then you have to go, oh, sorry, no, you messed it up. Look what we're going to do. Now, we're going to get you Macca's and now you don't get it. Or yeah, the kid just forgets.
After church, we're going to get Macca's and you messed it up for everyone. And that's kind of what it feels like. It just feels ain't right. However,
it's weird. Yeah, I don't know.
I am going to give you until I stop talking to think of your idea, because I want to know, like, Princess and the Frog, we both really highly rate that film. It's a great brand. You know, it represents as well, you know, with the first African-American princess, it is great for representation as well. My opinion of what should be done, do something with the Splash Mountain. It does need to be changed, but I don't think doing Princess and the Frog dirty is going to be the right choice. Let's take it over to Animal Kingdom and let's put in a trackless dark ride similar to Pooh's Honey Hunt, where it's like you get into sort of like a barrel floating down the river and you sort of have like you're in the swamp. It's swamp everywhere and your trackless dark ride is kind of in the swamp moving around, similar to Pooh's Honey Hunt, where you're in like the river. And I reckon you could have a spectacular dark ride that, oh, look, it's got animals. Mm-hmm. It's got characters. It's got inclusivity. Bob Chapek, hit me up.
Turn on that fifth key. You put it in the lock. Open it up. It's got the lot. It's got all five, which... Yeah, I was thinking even, that's funny, my thought for this style of attraction was a trackless dark ride as well, but bring a trackless dark ride into Fantasyland at the Magic Kingdom, because Magic Kingdom doesn't have a trackless dark ride, and similar, not identical to, you know, the Beauty and the Beast in Tokyo. I think that attraction has its strengths and its weaknesses, but that attraction is the definition of music driving a story. And Princess and the Frog is probably the best example of music driving a story Disney's done in the last 20 years. Like, 100%. Imagine scenes of a trackless dark ride where you are, you know, rolling down the bayou. You've got the scene with the little carrot, like the little bug.
The bug.
You know, the one who thinks his girlfriend is the moon.
Fester.
Yeah, little Fester. Like, you could have a scene like that where you've got, you know, the bayou is kind of over the top and it opens up and you've got the moon up there and he's singing to her and you're kind of doing a slow dance to that, you know, that look out, that song. Like, the music's so different. Okay. There's so much pacing you can have with it. And Princess and the Frog deserves more than just a $20 million new slap of paint.
I am going to set the scene, Luke. Okay, so imagine this. It starts off and you go into the swamp and the cue's sort of through the swamp. It's kind of like you can see New Orleans in the distance and you can hear like jazz and all of that. It's like lit up and you're sort of going through, what do they call them? Like decking over water.
Like a boardwalk almost.
Yeah, like a boardwalk, like, but it's kind of dingy and all of that. And then you come and there's people there who are giving you a tour of the swamp. And so you get into your barrel. And the trackless dark ride is ready to go. And as you board, you then get seated and the lights go out. And then your barrel starts moving and you see a star. And it's like, the evening star shines so bright. And then another star, more stars, heaps of stars start appearing. And then you're in a completely different room. And it's like, whoa. And then in the middle of the room is Mama Odie's, I think that's her name, her swamp, like her swamp thing. Like, you got so many good opportunities to do like some awesome things there.
I know a lot of people are like, oh, but book report rides. Like, you can still do a book report ride well.
Yeah.
Like, and it's music driving it. And you know what the best benefit it would have over, instead of being Splash Mountain, It wouldn't have the big suck out the back of Splash Mountain that makes me fear for my life anytime I walk back there. I don't know if we've talked about it, but there's a big swirling vortex of death that exists out the back of Splash Mountain, which is like where the water goes. I could have toppled in there. The like barrier isn't that tall. You can see it on Google Maps. It terrified me. It made a big scary noise. And a trackless dark ride, you can use fake water, so you don't have to have the big sucking vortex that exists out the back of that ride. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Every few months, they seem to be like, oh, here's a little bit more of a tidbit of what's coming. But then it seems to kind of go against some of the stuff we've heard before. So it almost feels like they're reinventing it every time we hear a little bit about it. I think at least one of them will get it for sure. Yeah. Splash Mountain and Magic Kingdom probably will be closed by 2025. Whether it reopens as a Princess and the Frog attraction, I'm not sure. Depends what's happening, if they can make an agreement with Tokyo. Because Tokyo just pretty much do what they want, it sounds like, because they're willing to pay. So it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, it's still open. You can still ride it at the moment. Don't know if you should rush out to ride it at this stage. I doubt they're going to close it during the 50th anniversary.
Like, if I remember correctly, wasn't Tokyo's reaction to the whole thing where Disney was like, okay, we have to change all of the Splash Mountains. And the Oriental Land Company was kind of like, huh, that sounds like a you problem.
Yeah, they were pretty much like, well, it's really popular. So
no one knows what a Song
it.
Of the South is here.
It was pretty, And it was also the thing where they were like, well, we'll split costs with you and you'll get a Princess and the Frog ride. But Tokyo's just like, but we don't want a Princess and the Frog ride. Like, that's
we
what
make
it essentially.
Too much money.
Yeah. So down, and if you look at the Tokyo version, it has like a whole themed area around it. It has the restaurant, which, why Princess and the Frog make Tiana's restaurant that sells beignets?
Yes.
It's a perfect way to bring it to the bring it into Walt Disney World, because the Disneyland beignets are the best thing ever. The beignets, and for a hot sec there, they had a Haunted Mansion mint julep. Those two together, no joke, when I went in 2019, probably had that about 6 or 7 times in the 3-4 days I was in the park.
Look, Disney, we all know, studies are conclusive that you enjoy money. Look at Beauty and the Beast. Look at what Beauty and the Beast has done in Fantasyland with their eating experience. Yeah, people just want to go and eat in, what's it called again? It's not called Beauty and the Beast. Be our guest. Now, get Tiana's. And that's another fantastical sort of eating experience. Mm-hmm. You could have a live jazz band. It's another opportunity for people to sit down during the Magic Kingdom. More sit-down restaurants are always good. And you could have it as like a, not a character dining, but more of like a, I guess, a hoop-de-doo review.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like, you know,
even just a live jazz band. You could have a live jazz band, have a singer of, you know, have a performer who is playing Tiana but is actually doing the singing like this scene in, you know. You don't need to have, you know, some big extravagant thing, but just a, you know, even, I know technically it doesn't really fit, but if they're putting Tiana's into it, the Golden Horseshoe already has a stage. You could retheme that into being Tiana's without too much effort, and it's not Tiana's. It's an offshoot. Tiana's so successful, she's been able to branch out. So she's overtaken the Golden Horseshoe. Jazz band on the stage. You could charge $80 for dinner and people would happily pay it.
Here we are. Luke Carroll and Dom Lacey Imagineering. Go dust out the plans for Beer Garden. Take that over to the Magic Kingdom. Now, get Beer Garden. You don't have to change much. It's already indoors. It's already got like, it's kind of like nighttime in there. And you've got the nice amphitheater seating as well. Now just change it to look like a swamp. There
Done.
You go.
You did it.
You've made money. Just listen to us, Disney. I know you're there. Just my phone's always at arm's length
away.
We've
only ever got one call on the show. The only other call I would take is from Disney. Swiftie and Disney, the only two calls we'll ever take on the show. But yeah, quickly touching on the rest of what is available at Frontierland. We've got Tom Sawyer Island. You ever been over to Tom Sawyer Island?
I have. Yeah. It always does feel like kind of one of those things that you do when you got an extra day. Like, you wouldn't do it if you had one day at the Magic Kingdom.
No, never.
It's kind of fun if you've got additional time. Yeah. Also, it's like one of the best places to get pictures of almost all the attractions.
Yeah, especially the ones around kind of the Rivers of America here. Splash, Big Thunder, Haunted Mansion. There's some
bad
good
place to get pictures of Space Mountain, but very good space to get pictures of everything else.
They've also got that the kind of rope bridge is fun to hop across. Yeah. They've got the little fort. It's a walk around attraction, and it's kind of one of the only walk around attraction that really exists at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. I think with modern technology, there is definitely a lot more that they can do with it. Like, imagine if it was kind of like a, you know, people love nowadays being able to find stories amongst sort of mundane things. So imagine if it was that thing where you go over to Tom Sawyer, and I know there's like kind of a somewhat of a story.
Mark Twain book. Yeah.
Yeah. But what if they then changed it and look, Disney, going to give you another idea. Just change it to
a lot for free today.
Any intellectual property. And you could have it where it's like you go into the caves and you hear certain things and it's like you write that down. Similar to the experience at Disney Sea, the Da Vinci experience, I think it is.
Yeah.
Where you like go around, you have to solve puzzles.
Challenge, I think it might be. It's called something like that, yeah.
Which was like, it's easy, it's straightforward, but it is something that sucks people away from the park and gives them things to do. And especially when Disney are really starting to push things like virtual queue and really trying to keep people around the park, you could have something over there, add a little cafe where mums and dads can sit down and have a break whilst kids go and do this experience. Like, it does kind of feel like that thing that just hasn't been touched in a very long time. Like, especially the fort, it does not look like Disney.
It feels like it's about to fall apart around you sometimes.
And you like peek in and there's like, I think there's like a model. It's not even an animatronic. It's just like a still model.
And you're like, hey man.
You've just finished doing these spectacular attractions. And then you're like, what is this?
A static man. My favorite.
However, most iconic character of Walt Disney World, a static man. Indescript static man.
Where's my static man t-shirt, Disney? Celebrate the true character of the 50th. Static man.
I think he's like, he's also leaning over as well.
Yeah, isn't he like a blacksmith or something, I think?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. It's on Tom Sawyer's Island.
I lived there for a year. I think I went to Tom Sawyer Island twice. So gets you the raft's kind of fun. It takes you across.
Yeah, that's true.
Last attraction to talk about in the Frontierland is the CBJ, the Country Bear Jamboree.
I hope our guests are sitting because this is going to be a long one. We've got 2 hours worth of Country Bear Jamboree history that we're about to go into. So starting in 1872, bears were discovered in America. Then you go.
Where were they hiding for that many years?
They were shy.
Oh, too shy. Country Bear Jamboree. I don't know how I feel about Country Bear Jamboree. It's fun.
No. Dig deeper into your heart. You know how you feel. I'm just going to throw it out there. It's a meme ride. Like, it's one of those rides that you do at the Magic Kingdom because either you've done it before and you want someone else to experience it, or you both go in blind and come out going, what? Or you did it when you were really young, like me, and it has not changed since 1999.
Yeah. It still exists here and it still exists in Tokyo. In Tokyo, it's in Japanese. So, but they still do the overlays in Japan, like the Christmas version, the summer version. Here, you just got the classic. The classic, of course, the 21st century audience version of the classic where they cut out 8 minutes or whatever it is to make a 12-minute show instead of a 21.
All of the characters are holding iPhones.
Yeah. You've got, you know, Swinging Teddy Barra. You've got the Big Al. You've got all the classics. This, I don't know if the people who seem to have grown up with Disney parks, going to them a lot as a kid, seem to have real connections with this attraction. Mm. I've never ridden it before 2015. So to me, it's a bit of a meme ride, as you said. I'll always see it, but I don't really have that connection with this ride that a lot of people seem to have.
I feel like, yeah, there are attractions that set Disney fans apart from Disney fans.
Yeah. Like,
if you are a Disney fan, you like going to Disney theme parks and just going on rides, enjoying the shows, you know, the regular things that Disney do. And then there are Disney fans who, whenever they go to a park, it's like, I have to do Small World. Yeah. I have to do Country Bear Jamboree. And if I don't, my grandmother, the ghost of my grandmother, will come back and haunt me for my days for not doing it again.
How would you, if you know, you've said the different enunciations, how would you say of people like us? What way do you say Disney fans for people like us?
Disney fans.
We make
videos on Disney
Not
theme
those
parks.
Those level like, of Disney fans. We're the ones
worst.
People can hear, like, coming behind them, because we're jingling around. Our pins are jingling around. We're, like, sipping on a big mint julep we've got.
If you come to the parks with us, we suck. You're going to learn about what bloody bolts they use on attractions. Oh, did you know that the gauge of the trains on Space Mountain is 26 inches? I bet you didn't want to know that, but we're going to tell you anyway.
I bet you didn't know that, nor care about that. Oh, see little bit of little speck on the ground there? Well, that's actually an old marking spot where they used to discover oil in Frontierland back in 1873, when it was this exact spot was a farming zone for orange trees.
Meanwhile, your entire friends and family have abandoned you. They're sort of doing that thing where they're like, oh, let's just let them have a sleepover. And so we're like, oh, what are we going to do tomorrow? Well, we're going to go to the Magic Kingdom. We're going to start at Space Mountain. Then we're going to work our way with a 26-minute wait. We're going to go to the Barnstormer. And then meanwhile, they're like, ah, oh, yes, we'll go to the Magic Kingdom too. Oh, Magic Kingdom. Oh, sorry. I thought you said Epcot. We're at Epcot without you.
So glug, 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 glug.
We just need some time away from these two little theme park boys.
Frontierland, Lucky Lars would quickly chat about the dining. You've got the Golden Oak Outpost. Oh, it's your favorite.
Ooh.
Loaded tater tots.
I had an outburst before this.
I don't think it is anymore. It used to be loaded waffle fries. I think it's now where you get the spring
rolls.
Yeah.
The spring rolls. Like,
the pizza spring roll, the cheeseburger spring roll. I think this is where you get them now. I might be wrong, though.
I tripped over during our weather at the moment, and I was a spring roll. It's spring right now, isn't it, in Australia?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that joke
doesn't
still
make
stared.
That joke acceptable.
Look, I feel like anything that doesn't specify what they sell in the dining list at Walt Disney World, just it's loaded tater tots.
Well, yeah, okay, here's a guess. This one's a bit raunchy name, a Westwood Ho. That's what it's called when us boys go to Disneyland.
Oh, on the West Coast. We look at that sign and we're like, oh, we give it a wink.
We're Disney simps, Disney hoes. We're wearing our.
What has this podcast become?
If you've made it an hour in, you deserve that visual of us being Westwood hoes on our way to Disneyland Park.
I never thought when we started this series that we would utter the sentence, we are Westwood hoes and Disney simps.
Can you deny it, Dom?
I just thought I started this thinking that it was just going to be a nice experience talking about theme parks.
If you listen to those first few episodes, they're very history focused. They're very much like an hour long version of our episodes. Now we've got We haven't been on too many tangents today. We did go on a 25-minute Splash Mountain topic, but that's relevant.
It's taken us an hour to talk about Frontierland.
Yeah, but it's been pretty on topic. It's been pretty on topic. We just talked a lot about this for some reason. For us, anyway, it's been pretty on topic. So Westwood Ho, what do you think Westwood Ho sells?
I'm going to judge by proximity of where it is. Does it sell turkey legs?
Yes, you guessed it. And it was my least favorite smell anytime I worked over on this side. I hate turkey legs. No, they taste disgusting.
No, you haven't experienced horrible smells. Sorry. You look very shocked there.
I thought you were about to say that turkey legs are God's gift to taste buds or something then for a second.
No, I've never had one. Okay, good. I've always wanted one. But if you can imagine what I'm like at a Disney theme park, it's just dopamine central for me. So the worst smell in any Disney theme park ever, and I can guarantee that anyone who has been to Hong Kong
vividly remember this smell.
It's the squid cart in Adventureland as you're walking towards the Big Thunder Mountain sort of ride. Every time I walk past, I'd gone to that park probably 50 to 75 times, and I'd gone past that cart a lot. And every time.
I've only been to that park for 2 days, and I remember that smell vividly. So
being punched in the face
by a squid.
You're just like, oh, I didn't ask for this. It is very similar, though, to the iconic experiences of walking around Hong Kong where you go near a vent and suddenly you're wondering, like,
the city.
What's they cooking?
Under there? Well, there's a special vent in Sydney City. If you ever come to Australia, you need to get that little Disney fix. There's a vent in the city that vents out Pirates of the Caribbean smell for some reason. Now, everyone thinks I'm crazy until they go to this vent and then they agree with me. So
I absolutely agree. It smells 100% like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Lucky last place to talk about, and probably the best place in all Frontierland, is Peco Bill, Tall Tale Inn and Cafe, which used to be better because it used to have a self-service topping bar where you could get all of the nacho taco toppings that you wanted, the guacamoles, sour creams, as much as you wanted. Where they got rid of that because people were probably stealing $37 worth of guacamole when they bought $12 worth of nachos.
People would walk into the park with purses, like just to steal sour cream. It's like a refreshing drink through the day.
Loungefly backpacks, you know, those little ones, and I just scoop big scoops of guacamole. And as they walk around the park, they put it on their front. You know how you wear the backpack on the front? They just get the chips and they just eat it in the queues.
They go through security the next day. They've got like some leftover. They're like, oh, look, I've got a couple of things in my bag, but you just have to sift through the sour cream. The day old sour cream. Security guards, they're just like scooping out items. It's Panadol, an iPhone. That's just nonchalantly like pull out a Dorito and they're like, oh, yeah. Why are we the way we are?
No, I'm not. Not we. I'm not taking any responsibility for what was just said.
Well, yeah, I've been to... So did they ever have the thing which was like unlimited corn chips where it was just like a bucket of corn chips?
I don't know if they had that, but you could buy just corn chips and then get the nacho cheese and the stuff at the topping bar.
Like, I went to a couple of places where they just have, like, these, for lack of a better word, like, vats of corn chips. And they'll pour out more. You're, like, meant to, like, go and just get your own. And it's kind of like an appetizer as you're going to go and eat. That won't fly nowadays.
No, there's a lot. That's why when Disney was like, and we've reopened the Crystal Palace as a buffet, I was like, how? How have you done that?
Like a buffet in Florida. But I have heard reviews where everyone's like, don't even bother. Don't. Like, it's just, it's not nice and not fun. I haven't been. I can't pass judgment. This is just what
since
I've heard.
Reopening, yeah, I've heard that as well from yeah. certain about specific places more than others too. I don't know what that says, but yeah. Hey, Dom, remember the start of this episode where we said we'll talk about Liberty Square?
Yes.
Well, tune in next week so you can hear us talk about Liberty Square.
No one's gonna watch it.
Like, we will talk about Liberty Square. We can probably fit Liberty Square and Fantasyland in because I reckon I got about 7 minutes of conversation for Liberty Square.
No, because we'll talk about the Hall of Presidents, then we're gonna talk about buddy
Donald Trump looking
like Ellen DeGeneres.
It says here, the Hall of Presidents is a 22-minute show. Do you think on next week's episode we will talk about the entirety of Liberty Square for shorter or longer than the runtime of the Hall of Presidents?
Don't make this a challenge. Because
true,
if we
make a prediction, then we're going to specifically make it longer or shorter. But we don't have time to talk about Liberty Square this week.
No.
But
we've hit our quota.
I promise, because we're not going to talk about Enchantment. We're not going to talk about Princess and the Frog Imagineering discussions. Next week, we will talk about Liberty Square and Fantasyland. And then the week after, we won't talk about Tomorrowland because we've got a very special spooky episode for Halloween. So we'll have two more episodes on the Magic Kingdom, and I think we'll get through it.
I think Fantasyland's going to be a two-parter.
Good luck!
Luke, Frontierland has three attractions. Fantasyland has like 28.
Oh, yeah. Fantasyland and Dumbo's Circus are technically the same land, aren't they?
Yep.
Good luck, us.
Well, I hope you're all excited for next week's 3-hour extravaganza.
Yeah, we said we'll do it in one episode. Doesn't mean it has to be a normal length episode.
Well, I think that wraps it up for this week's episode. Do you have anything left to say about Frontierland that you didn't say in the hour-long
My brain's sesh? Empty in Frontierland. I think I talked about everything that could possibly have been said about Frontierland.
We didn't talk about the different types of foliage that you can enjoy
So there is that nice walkway that takes you across the water, kind of like the boardwalk walkway that takes you around out the front. That's a good way if there's quite a crowded group, especially once parade comes back, you can actually take that back road as a sneaky way to get over to Big Thunder or Splash Mountain.
Mm. And if you're really risky, you can hike on Big Thunder Mountain.
I thought you were going to say just swim in the rivers of America. That's a quick way over. Please don't.
I'd prefer to hike on Big Thunder Mountain, which don't do it. I have seen a video, though. Don't seek it out. I didn't tell you about this.
Oh, secret squirrel business.
Did you ever see that? It was the video of that kid who was like climbing around.
The one that always springs to mind when people talk about stuff like that is the classic Mexico staircase.
Oh.
Like the guy climbing up the Mexico pavilion as if it was a staircase.
I feel like my lawyer has just called me, my lawyer, LaRue Swifty, and they have mentioned that we should not condone any of these activities.
Oh, we don't. Of course not.
And yes, we don't. Not we should not.
We don't
condone.
Exactly.
So don't sue us, and we'll see you next week on Review Time's Theme Podcast. If you'd like to get in contact with me, you can find me at Review Time Dumb on Twitter.
That's for all his hot takes. You can find me at Review Time Luke on Twitter.
For all of his hot takes. And you can find us both where we talk about Little Theme Park Boys, which is who don't know, it's a reference to a podcast, The Ride. They recently mentioned us in an episode, and it was weird because I've been listening to podcasts ride for a very long time. Like, it's kind of that thing where I feel like, not humble brag for a bit, but I feel like we've earned our place.
And if you've made it an hour and 11 minutes in, you probably like to hear it maybe.
Mm. Yeah, but I feel like we've earned our place in the theme park world, that it is still weird that like people who inspired us to do
look
the things
up to
that
and
we
respect.
Do. Like, now talk about you. Yeah. I did have that experience when I used to do YouTube back in the day with Minecraft videos, and then the person who inspired me to make YouTube in the first place turned out to be not a nice person. But that's a story for another time.
Ooh.
We'll be back. Did I miss anything? Oh, you can find us at Review Time everywhere else. But if you're this far in, you probably already know that.
Leave us a rating on iTunes about how good and on topic the podcast always is as well.
100%. We do like it when you mention that we never go on tangents. We always make sure to specifically talk about the thing that we set out to talk about. And we have never doubled
and
up
on the
story.
And we never go on a 10-minute outro tangent either. Oh, wait, we're doing it right now.
I just don't want to finish it. This is like, this has been a good episode. You know, you don't want to end a good thing too early, but I'll see you next week.
Bye.
Review Time's theme podcast is brought to you by Luke Carroll and Dom Lacey. A big shout out goes to our newest patron, Kurt Shimala, long-term patron, Alec Goines, and to you, the listener. Review Time's theme podcast will be back next week.